want to direct your attention for a little while to the book of Genesis, chapter number 28. Genesis chapter 28. The Lord will help us. Perhaps you'd like to stand one more time for the reading of the Word. I'm going to take you to a real old story, a familiar story. The story of Jacob's ladder. And I will be rather thematic, I suppose, because in relationship to what I preached last night, I trust the Lord will help us again to just talk about what we have in the Holy Ghost. How many appreciate the Holy Ghost? Genesis chapter 28, and let's just read this, even though we're quite familiar with it. So we'll start at about verse number 12. This is where Jacob, as you know, is escaping from Esau, and we might say launching out on his own. He's on this great adventure. The saga of faith in one man, which the Bible says in this very chapter, becomes the means by which all the families of the earth were blessed. So you never know what God can do with one person. And this great man of faith is beginning this saga and this journey, this great adventure with God. Let's look at verse number 12. He goes to sleep on the pillows of stone, and he dreamed. And behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham thy father, and the God of Isaac. The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth, and thou shalt spread abroad to the west, and to the east, and to the north, and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. Verse 15, let's read together. And behold, I am with thee, and will keep thee in all places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. Let's pray together. Jesus, in your precious name, help us, God, to understand your will and purposes for our lives. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. We need you, Jesus. Oh, God, help us here tonight that we may do your will. We thank you for your word and the life that is in your word. In the name of Jesus, we thank you so much. And everyone said amen. You may be seated. I've appreciated what Brother Baxter's had to say today. What a magnificent job. Thank you, Brother Baxter. This kind of teaching is very important. I hope you'll be here tomorrow because it plays, I think, a vital role in helping us to understand how important it is for us to get a vision, an understanding of God's will for our lives. God did not just place you in the church, fill you with the Holy Ghost for naught. He has a will for your life. And of course, as we understand from reading the scripture, the New Testament church was intended to be a dynamic, powerful, and anointed church with visions and dreams and understandings and abilities, not through our human effort, but by the anointing and power of the Holy Ghost. And it is, I think, critical in these times. You know, we play around a lot with this, but it's very important that we get a picture of what God would have done in our lives. We get a proper understanding of it. And we need to communicate with the Lord. We need to be in touch with God. And every one of us need that desire to be in touch with God. But I see so many Christians, so many folks that are in the church, so many people that are spirit-filled people that have allowed their lives to become so trivial, and they have sunk into despair and failed to understand the tremendous potential that is theirs in the Holy Ghost.
And by the help of God, all of us, wherever we're serving, whatever we're doing, parents, pastors, teachers, evangelists, all of us, singers, all of us have got to work together to raise people's consciousness, if I can put it that way, to raise people's vision and understanding of how important we are to God through the birth of the Holy Spirit in our lives. We're part of something, ladies and gentlemen, that's bigger than anything that's in this world. Is there anybody here that believes we're part of a divine plan? That we are members of the body of Christ and that we serve through the Spirit with the Lord. We are joint heirs and we have fellowship with Him. How many's glad about it in the Holy Ghost? Go ahead and clap your hands to the Lord. I'm glad about this relationship. But so many people never seem to be able to catch this. They don't understand the importance of this. You're not just a nobody. You're not just nothing. God has filled you with His Spirit. He wants you to envision. He wants you to see. He wants you to comprehend, as the Apostle Paul used that great word, comprehend. You got to figure it out. To know what is the height and the depth. To understand what the potentials are in Christ. And our vision, our understanding, our perceptions, our paradigms are much too small and too limited. And we're crippling the church. And this is no time for a crippled church. How many want more of the Holy Ghost? I rented a car in Tucson, Arizona. My wife and I were out there for a few days and I rented a car. And I left the hotel early in the morning to gas up the car. And I was in a gas station on the corner there, someplace in Tucson. And I was putting gasoline in my car. And in the street, right out in front of the gas station, maybe a quarter of a block, just a short distance away from the gas station, a lady's car stopped right in the middle of the road. Dead in the middle of the road. And she got out and she came up to the gas station attendant who was working around there. And in her hand was a small coffee cup. And she held this coffee cup out and she said, "I've run out of gasoline. And I want you to give me some gasoline." And the man said, "In the cup?" And she said, "Yes, I want a cup of gasoline." And I shall never forget what the man said. He said, "Lady, we have two problems here. First of all, it's illegal for me to put gasoline in that cup. Secondly, even if I filled that cup and you managed to walk down there and pour it in your gas tank, it wouldn't be enough to even get you back down here. You couldn't even get your car started with a cup of gasoline. Do you understand that, lady?" And she became furious. And she said, "Well, that's all I need." And I thought, my, I pastor people like that. They come to church with this little coffee cup mentality. All I need is enough Holy Ghost just to get me to next week or to get me through the night or give me a few little goosebumps or to make me have a little blessing. And it's kind of a coffee cup mentality. You understand what I'm talking about? But I got a little message for you here tonight. You need more than just a little bit. You need a complete filling of the Holy Spirit. You need a complete touch of the Holy Spirit from the top of your head to the sole of your feet. Some of you that haven't felt His power in a long time need to get a brand new anointing. You need to get a brand new vision. You need to see a brand new dream. You need to get a brand new understanding of what the will of God is for your life. This church cannot go forward with pea brains. It cannot go forward with people who don't get it. You've got to understand that this is not just about coming to church and getting a little blessing. This is not about a little something in your coffee cup. This is about fulfilling the will of God within the body of Christ. This is about getting behind your church. This is about getting behind your pastor. This is about submitting your talents to the Lord. This is about enjoying the new life in the Holy Ghost. My, I feel the Holy Ghost settling in on this place. Go ahead and praise Him just a little while. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! Is there anybody here that needs a brand new anointing? Throw away your little coffee cup. Get rid of your little ideas. God wants to pour out a blessing on the church that you cannot contain. He wants to fill you up to overflowing. Hallelujah. Oh, somebody say hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. How many want all this you can get? Now let me take you back to Jacob and his dream, because this is important. Now I understand that this dream has tremendous historical significance. I'm not going to preach about the historical aspect of it. It certainly has prophetical aspect to it. Because this is that great moment in a man's life when God promises to be with him. This is that with him moment. I'm going to be with you moment. That's important. And it's important prophetically and all those wonderful rich things that come out of that. But it's also important conceptually. Because there's something here, as God always does. He brings us many different kinds of lessons out of the same story. So this might be prophetical, it might be historical, but it's also conceptual. Look at the sequence here. Look how the words, look at the rhythm here. First of all, the Bible says, and there's four of these beholds. The first one is behold the ladder. Secondly is behold the angels. Third is behold the Lord at the top of the ladder. Fourth behold is the message from the Lord, which goes something like, I'm going to be with you and I'm not ever going to forsake you. I'm going to anoint you. So you've got four things here. The ladder, the angels, the Lord at the top of the ladder, and then you've got the message. But you can't get it out of sequence. And I want you to see this in a conceptual way. Remember, God, we are so small in our humanity and in our carnality that God has to talk to us in symbols. He has to talk to us in word pictures so we can understand how He does things. That's why He used the Old Testament church to live out in the flesh what we live out in the Spirit. They were our example and ensample so we could figure out how God works. Here's another classic example. First of all, Jacob, the four. Now, everybody wants to get to God at the top of the ladder. Everybody wants to get the message. Everybody likes the idea of fellowshipping with angels. But what I want to preach to you about tonight is something conceptual. Before we talk about angels, before we visit the Lord at the top of the ladder, before we hear the message of the Lord, the first thing I want you to do is to behold the ladder itself. You first got to see the ladder. The ladder is critical. The ladder is part of the story. The ladder is the essence of this story in a sense. So slap the person on the arm beside you and say, behold the ladder. Behold the ladder. Hit me real hard now. Oh. Guy's a weightlifter. I would like to take some Christians who spend most of their time bellyaching, complaining, that whining little, you know, we got every church has got a group of whiners. I'm glad to know you got this. Just don't run the battery down. I may need it. Little whiners come to church with their little motorized fans. Can't take the heat. Folks that want to talk about how they're victimized. Somebody said this is the age of vanishing vision. Somebody said that the whole world is getting dumbed down. And I believe there's a measure of truth in that. You can hardly find anybody that can count change anymore. Some of you couldn't get through arithmetic class if it wasn't for your calculator that you have hidden in your notebook. And that's one thing for the world to be dumb, but it's another thing for the church to be dumb. The church can't afford to be dumb. We can't afford, pardon my word here, but we can't afford to be stupid. We got to understand what the Lord has for us. We've got to behold the ladder. We've got to see the potential. We've got to understand how the Lord has made a way for us. Turn to Ephesians for just a little while. Maybe somebody could grab a microphone and read this for me. Is everybody all right? Read this for me, Ephesians chapter 2. And let's talk a little bit about where the Lord says there we have access. Where does that start at? Verse number what? Chapter 2, verse number what? By one Spirit we have access. Access, the key word there. We're in Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to make sure you got the right verse for me. Somebody say hallelujah. Verse number 18. I want you to see verse number 18. Now this is important to what I want to say to you tonight. You know, we sit on the pews with people who just don't get it. They don't understand the big picture. They've reduced God down to something that's ordinary and common. But God is not ordinary and common. By the way, just let me throw this at you too. God cannot be manipulated either. He cannot be owned. You can't possess God. You can't franchise God. God is of Himself and by Himself. The only reason you know anything at all about God is because He's revealed Himself to you. We Pentecostals got to get the big picture. This church doesn't belong to us. It was His cross, His blood. He paid the price so that we could be in the church. Who are we to dictate to God how many churches can be in Columbus, Ohio? Or how many churches can be in Indianapolis? Or how many churches can be anywhere for that matter? If God wants 1,000 churches in Columbus, that's His business. If He wants 100 churches in Detroit, that's His business. When are we going to stop trying to control this thing? The Spirit blows where it willeth or where it listeth. You just better be glad God lets you hear the sound. But even though you can hear the sound, you'll never get control of it. This thing belongs to God. We're bought by His precious blood.
Praise God. Praise.
Say, behold the ladder. Some little boys in our church, I was walking through the foyer in the prayer room, and there was two little boys, bus ministry boys. They did not know who I was. And they came up to me and they said, "Do you want to buy some bulletins?" They had a handful of our church bulletins. They were back in the prayer room. So I played along. I said, "How much are those bulletins?" Said, 25 cents. I said, "You mean you're getting 25 cents for the Calvary Tabernacle Church bulletin?" They said, "Yes." I said, "Don't you know you can get those bulletins free up in the front of the church?" And one of the boys held up a big wad of them about like this. He said, "Not anymore, you can't." Stole the church bulls and had a monopoly on the industry. Now that's where some church people would like to be. But you can't get a monopoly on this Holy Ghost. You can't get a monopoly on the work of God. You can't control this thing. You can't organize this thing by your own scheme or by your own idea. Is there anybody here that believes the church belongs to the Lord? Is there anybody here on the Lord's side? Behold the ladder. You got to get a vision of the ladder. Let me explain to you. Read this now, beginning of verse number 18. Do you love the Lord? My goodness. I feel so good in the Holy Ghost tonight. Amen. Amen. You need to get you one of those motorized ones over there. Huh? Used to have one, it wore out. All right. We got, you know, this is a modern world. We got guy over here with electronic Bible, people with automatic fans. Now, you can't automize the Holy Ghost, though. Too bad. You're not that smart, guy. You understand? You're pretty smart. But you're not that smart. This Holy Ghost belongs to the Lord. We need to get the curtain up, folks. We need to turn the lights on. We need to get a vision of what God wants us to do. He wants us to be filled with His Spirit. He wants us to live and breathe and understand the power of the Holy Ghost that works within us. We're too anemic. We're too afraid. We're too much of a coward. We need to stand up and glorify the name of the Lord in our lives. Now let's read this here.
For through him, we both have access.
Everybody say access.
Access. By one Spirit.
By what?
By one Spirit.
We got access. Mr. Gates came out with his plan the other day about how he was going to wire the world, and everybody's going to have access. That's the big word now. Everybody's going to get access to this and access to that. But the Bible said we're going to have access to the Lord, and we're going to have access to something that's supernatural by the Spirit.
Unto the Father.
Let me tell you, folks, this is not about emotionalism. This is not just about coming to church and feeling good once in a while. The Holy Ghost is about access. The Holy Ghost is about touching God. The Holy Ghost is about being ignited with the power from on high. The Holy Ghost is real. The Holy Ghost is life-changing. The Holy Ghost will make a difference in your life. We have access by the Spirit. Go ahead.
Now therefore, ye are no more strangers.
Because we have access, everybody say, no more strangers. What else?
And foreigners.
Somebody say, no more foreigners. What else?
But fellow citizens.
But we're fellow citizens.
With the saints.
With the saints.
And of the household of God.
And the household of God. I wish the curtain would go up on your brain right now. You need to throw your coffee cup away. The Holy Ghost gives you access. It gives you access into the power of God. Gives you access into the household of God. You're no longer a stranger or a pilgrim. You have access. You have entrance. You have a way made for you to get into the power of God. Go ahead, read just a little bit more now.
And are built upon the foundation.
And you're built on the foundation.
Of the apostles.
Of the apostles. And the prophets.
Jesus Christ himself
being the chief cornerstone.
In whom all the building fitly framed
is
together,
fitly framed together.
Groweth unto a holy temple.
In the Lord.
In whom ye also are builded together
for a habitation
of God
through the Spirit. Wait a minute now. I think I'm starting to see something in the Holy Ghost. I think I see a ladder. Hold on just a minute. I think the Lord is at the top of the ladder. I believe there's a blessing at the top of the ladder. I think the angels of God and all the prophets are there and all the apostles are there. But I don't want to forget something very critical here. I want to think for a minute about the sweet Holy Ghost that gives me access. Am I in the book here? How many know we have access to God by the Holy Ghost?
Praise God.
Somebody said they're going to get on the internet. Are you on the internet?
Are
you? Well, not talking about that internet. Talking about old Gates's internet and all those IBM Macintosh boys. How many's on the internet? Anybody here on the internet? Oh, there they are. All those computer freaks. There they are. On the internet. How many got to sell your phone? Raise your hand. You got to sell your phone. Come on, don't be ashamed. You got to sell your phone. All right. Folks are hooked up. How many got a telephone? You just got a telephone. Let me see your hands. You got a telephone. I think I see something better than the internet here. I think I see something more glorious than the cellular system. I think I see another kind of connection here. I think I see something that goes beyond the computer. Behold the ladder. Behold the access. I think I got a vision of something that's powerful and glorious and divine. I think I got a little vision of something that the Lord is doing for us. He's opening up a door for us. He's giving us access into the throne room. He's washing away the stigma. He's cleansing us from the stain of sin. He's giving us access into His royal family, into that royal priesthood. You talk about something ought to make you happy. You have access to the throne of God. You have a divine connection to the almighty resource. You have a divine connection to the great God, wise and holy, creator of heaven and earth. Clap your hands to the Lord. Here's what I'm trying to say to you tonight. We Pentecostals got to get this first thing right. We've got to see the ladder. We've got to understand that the Holy Ghost is our access into everything that's good and holy and precious and powerful. It's not a spare tire. What's wrong with some of you people? Do you have a problem with what the apostles preached? Do you have a problem with this Holy Ghost message? Why would anybody stand behind the sacred desk and tell somebody that they do not need to receive the Holy Ghost? I'm here to tell you one more time, you must be born again of the water and of the Spirit. Without the Spirit of Christ, you are none of His. It's the Holy Ghost that gives you access. It's the Holy Ghost that makes you divinely connected to the almighty power of the living God. Glory to God. Now, I know we understand all this Holy Ghost stuff in terms, for the most part, in terms of how it blesses us in an individual way. But what I'm talking about is the ladder we don't see in terms of its greatness and its absolute mammothness, its enormousness, its greatness, its magnificence. We don't see it. Sometimes we see the Holy Ghost as that little something that just kind of comes along once in a while and blesses us. But it's much greater than that. Now let me share something with you that is quite incredible, really. Jerry Rifkin wrote a book a few years ago entitled The Emerging Order. It's extremely prophetic. One of the chapters in the book he dedicated to trying to understand Pentecostals. Now, Jerry Rifkin is not a Christian. He's a social commentator and an author, a columnist, a lecturer. And he lectures at all the great universities of the world. He is not a churchman. But here's what he had to say, and I'm paraphrasing, summarizing for you now. He said, of all the things that he's ever studied and looked at in this world, there is one phenomenon that he cannot quite figure out. And that is how the Holy Spirit seems to work on Pentecostal people to create for them a new form of communication that is beyond human comprehension. Now I'm going to read page number 227, just part of this page, out of his book. He says this, stay with me. He says that if everyone spoke in tongues, it would be indecipherable according to communications logic. Yet millions of people are now doing just that, speaking in tongues. They are speaking in tongues, and the evidence is that they are communicating more effectively with each other as a result. Rather than setting up barriers, speaking in tongues appears to be knocking down walls. Now, I don't have time to expand on this fully, but I want you to get something here. Listen to the next paragraph. Anyone can speak in tongues. It provides the kind of access that people feel is denied them by those who hold a monopoly over communications. Now, let me just pause here a minute. You can get very excited about cellular, and you can get excited about satellite and internet and all this interlinking and all this kind of stuff and all the little tricks and things that your computer will do. But remember, you do not control the satellites or the computers or the internets or any other part of that. And for the most part, you don't even understand it. But he's talking here about another kind of communication, and he's admitting that he doesn't understand it, but he's observed this. He said, speaking in tongues requires no special training. It is a universal language available to all men and women. There are no experts. Everybody can communicate equally well without help, intervention, or interpretation of professionals, institutions, or specialized technology. Speaking in tongues is not a learned skill, but a gift from God. Speaking in tongues provides everybody with the information they need to understand the world and their role in it. It does not provide partial information. I want to say this about the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost doesn't provide lies for you. A lie is no good to you. Only the truth is good for you. Only the truth is holy. Every lie that you entertain, even for a minute, is dangerous. The Holy Ghost speaks to us in truth. He goes on to say that all of this is a tremendous thing. He said, the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, does not provide them partial information or inaccurate information, but the complete body of truths necessary for life. This is so because the truths are those revealed by God and therefore all inclusive. I see a ladder. I see a ladder, Brother Jordan. I think I'm seeing something here. I need to get a picture of it. I need to get out of the ordinary kind of way of thinking about church. And I need to get a picture of this glorious access that I have. The Holy Ghost gives me access to God. I believe I can read somewhere in the Bible where the New Testament church is supposed to sing in the Holy Ghost. I believe we're supposed to pray in the Holy Ghost. I believe revelation comes by the Holy Ghost. I believe the Holy Spirit helps our infirmities. I believe we're justified in the Spirit. I believe that we come to a place of hope in the Spirit. I believe that by the Spirit we have faith. I believe by the Spirit we have anointing. I believe by the Spirit we have a way to understand. Do you get the picture here tonight? Behold the ladder. The Lord has made a way for our escape. Behold the answer above all answers. The Lord can communicate with you. The Lord can talk to you. The Lord can speak to you by the Holy Ghost. They can cut off your water. They can put you in a dark dungeon. They can oppress you economically. But the Holy Ghost can come on you and talk to you directly. God by His Spirit can communicate with any mortal on this earth. It is an unlimited access. It's free. It comes from God. It is our gift. If you're glad you got the Holy Ghost, clap your hands to the Lord. Somebody said, I want to be on the internet. Well, I want to be in the Holy Ghost internet. Somebody said, I want to get a cellular phone. That's all right, but give me a Holy Ghost phone. Give me the royal telephone that connects me to the Almighty God. Say it with me, behold the ladder. Say it again, behold the ladder. Whereby we have access. Some people want to talk to you about God. They want to talk to you about angels. But they don't want to talk to you about the Holy Ghost being in your life. Who are these people trying to pull us away from the Holy Ghost experience? Who are these folks trying to tell us we don't need the Holy Ghost? It's by the Spirit we have access. I saw a sign on the side of the road in Canada. In Colombia. What is that province out there? British Columbia, up in a little town called Hope, British Columbia. I saw a sign that said soaring lessons. I never had been soaring, so I stopped. I walked up to the man and said, I never have soared. Can I soar? I want to soar. I like the word soar. He said, you can soar. I said, I want to soar today. He said, you can soar today. I said, I want to soar right now. He said, you can soar right now. And he put me in that little soaring machine. Now they're not really machines; they're apparatuses, huge wingspans. If the fuselage of that thing was setting right here, the wings would expand almost to each sides of these walls. They're magnificent crafts. They cost anywhere from $50,000 to $100,000 a piece. And he got in the front, and I got in the back. And we each had steering mechanisms, and pedals, and straps. And they hooked an airplane to the front of it, and we took off down the runway. And we lifted up into the air. And after we were there a while, he reached up
or he said to me, he said, now reach up right in front of you and you'll see a big yellow wire. He said, pull that wire as hard as you can. And I pulled that wire as hard as I could. And that airplane was released from that soaring thing. And the cable broke loose and there we was on our own. And that airplane shot away, and now suddenly it's total silence because we can't hear the rumble of the engine anymore, and we are soaring. And he said to me, he said, all right, are you ready? I said, ready, I guess, for what? He said, we're going to cut around this mountain here, and we're going to hit the thermal lifts. He said, have you ever been on thermal lifts before? I said, man, don't be crazy. I've never been in one of these crafts before. And ladies and gentlemen, we come around one of the sides of one of those beautiful mountains right above the Fraser River, and we hit a thermal lift. And I want you to know that that plane shot up. The heat coming up out of the ground along the side of that mountain provided lighter air. And when our craft went into that, we was like a gigantic balloon that had suddenly been released, and we were soaring and doing these magnificent figure eights. And he said to me, he said, all right now, hang on. And we moved out of the thermal lift and we went into a nosedive straight down like this. And we cut back into the thermal lift. And I am praying, oh God, help me, Jesus. We hit those thermal lifts again. And he said, now I'm going to give you a special treat. And he hit a button in the front of the craft, and he had 12 Bose speakers in that thing, and all of a sudden we heard Beethoven like I'd never heard it before. Pa 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 pa. And we're riding those thermal lifts, and I'm going, yes, this is wonderful. Don't make me come down. I love it up here. How much is this costing me an hour? Riding those thermal lifts and soaring and riding and soaring and riding and listening to Beethoven and seeing sights in a perspective that I'd never seen before. And I couldn't help but draw the comparison. And I couldn't help but think about all of us in the church. We need to get out of the molly grubs. And we need to get out of the feel sorry for ourselves attitude. And we need to let the Holy Ghost lift us on the thermal lifts and get us in the Spirit. We need to get in where the Lord can touch us and help us and bless us. Come on, we need an apostolic church. We need a Holy Ghost church. Is there anybody here that's not afraid to let the Holy Ghost talk to you? Too many of our people have grown cold. Too many of them have gotten old. Too many of them have gotten dead in their thinking. I'm here to tell you, the Holy Ghost is able to take you higher than you've ever been before. We have access. 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 If our young people will access the Holy Ghost, we can turn the world upside down. If our churches will tap into the Holy Ghost, if we'll get on God's internet, if we'll hook up to the power of the anointing of the Holy Ghost, I'm here to tell you, nothing! 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 Is impossible. Poke the person beside you and say, I see a ladder. Do you really see it? I used to be a pilgrim, a stranger. I used to wander around. I was in darkness. I was dead in trespasses and sin. But behold the ladder. I finally caught a vision of what could happen in my life if I would lay down my sins and I would accept the wonderful gift of the Holy Ghost. And He set me free. You know, there's people that want to tell you that somebody that tries to teach you holiness and separation from the world is going to take you back into bondage. What a perverted view of theology. The freedom that God has given us is freedom from sin and freedom from death. The liberty we have is victory over death. If you go back to the world, you go back to the things that you've been delivered from, and you go back to death. Because all you had in the world was death and damnation. But what you have in Christ is life. More abundantly. I need the Lord.
I'm going to tell you, I believe the church is at a very critical juncture. You're at a critical juncture. Every one of our ministries are at a critical juncture. We have to decide whether or not we want to climb this ladder. Whether or not we want to accept God's way. The Holy Ghost baptism is God's way. The new birth experience is God's way. I wish we could get some people to pray an old-fashioned prayer. It kind of goes like this. Lord, I want what the apostles got the way they got what they got. Because if I get what they got the way they got what they got, then I'll know I got what they got. But if I don't get what they got the way they got what they got, then I won't know if I got what they got. So give me what they got the way they got what they got. That's the way you need to pray. Unashamed to receive it. Unashamed to be baptized in it. Unashamed to feel it. Unashamed to announce to the world, I've been born again. We was in a restaurant and a man just insisted on talking to us, Sister Mooney and I. And she was trying to eat and I was trying to eat and this man was wanting to talk. He had been on vacation with his wife. They'd been on the road for 3 weeks. She was not talking to him. Man was desperate to talk to somebody and he started talking to us. I should say, he started talking to me because Sister Mooney ignored him. His wife ignored him. It was just me and him. And we began to converse. And the typical kinds of small talk was transpired between us for a while. And then finally, of course, we each ask the question, what do you do? And here's what he told me that he did. He said, I am a pilot up in the North Channel, up by Sault Ste. Marie. And I have been doing this, he said, for 30 years. He said, what happens? Ships come in through the St. Lawrence Seaway into the North Channel there from all over the world, as you know. There's not a country in the world that has such a magnificent seaway that goes from the Atlantic Ocean clear across half of Canada and down into the central part of the United States, clear to Duluth, Minnesota. Russians can buy Minnesota can be put on ships there and shipped by boat all the way to Russia. It's amazing. What a great country. And he said, I worked those ships in that St. Lawrence Seaway. And he said, they come down there. And he said, when they get ready to go through the locks at Sault Ste. Marie, and if you've never been there, this is a magnificent trip for you sometime to go to the locks at Sault Ste. Marie. And he said, those ships come in and said, they have to stop out there in the North Sea. And he said, I chug out. And he said, there's a little ceremony that takes place aboard the ship. And it doesn't matter how long the guy has been the captain of his ship. And it doesn't matter how much experience he has. When he gets to the Sault Ste. Marie locks, he has to resign his ship to me. I am the guy that takes him through the locks. He said, those guys that can be ever so magnificent out there on the open sea can lose a ship in those narrow locks. He said, we have approximately 11 yards to play with on each side of the ship. That's just very little space. And he said, we cannot afford to make an error. I figure it with computers. I figure it with calculators. I figure it the old way. And I figure it every way. So it has to be perfect. And he said, there's a ceremony that takes place aboard that ship. And he said, a man comes there, the captain, and I go there. And all the band comes out and they play a little number. And said, he salutes and I salute. And the captain of that ship has to go down in his quarters. And it doesn't matter what happens from that point. He's not allowed to come back on board. Even if the ship crashes, he must stay in his quarters. He is not responsible at all for his ship. And he said, it's my job to guide those ships through the locks. And I asked him, have you ever lost one? And he said, in 30 years, I have never scratched a ship. And I got to thinking about our captain, Jesus Christ. If we could get every Pentecostal to just meet him somewhere and turn your life over to him and let him be the one that guides you through. Let him be the one that protects you and helps you through the rocky shores and through all the things that you face. Let him be the one that helps you through. The church is in too of a dangerous position for us to try to do this by ourselves. Oh, how we need the Holy Spirit.
Oh, how we need the touch of His Holy Spirit. How we need that amazing grace. I see a ladder, ladies and gentlemen. I see justification. I see healing. I see salvation. I see strength. I see overcoming power. I see a way to overcome the problems of this world. Not by might or power, but by His Spirit. Some of you faced with things, you brought things to this camp. Insurmountable problems that unless God answers, there are no solutions. Situations in your family, in your lives, in your minds. Oppressions, loneliness, feelings of trouble that surround you every day. And what is the answer? The answer is, behold the ladder. See the power of the Holy Ghost that is yours. You are not a foreigner. You are not a stranger. But by that Spirit you have access into that holy place, into that holy relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, if we could just get the church to soar one time, if we could just get you on a Holy Ghost thermal lift one time, and you would not look at your life through your own eyes or your own understandings. As the apostle said, lean not on your own understandings, but you would begin to think about what you are in Christ. And until the apostolic church begins to see that by the Holy Ghost we have a connection, ladies and gentlemen, a connection so that we can understand things. Here's the exciting thing, Brother Baxter. It doesn't matter what's happening in this world, how little of it we may understand from a carnal perspective or from a political perspective, there is one thing for sure we can do. We can get it from a spiritual perspective. And we can live it in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit. Bow your head with me for a little while tonight. We're having trouble getting people to accept the supernatural. Really, we are. Right. Having a problem with it. I say this, and I don't mean it in a nasty way. But if we're not careful, all we're going to be doing is painting by somebody's number book, and that's not good enough. Because the more we relinquish the leadership and guidance of the Holy Spirit, the more carnal men come in with programs and ideas and fancy little ways of doing this or that, until pretty soon we're just looking for somebody's coloring book so we can fill in the spaces. And we all become kind of duped, and we all become victimized by somebody's scheming or somebody's extortion or by somebody's cunning craftiness, and that's not good enough. The church has to be guided by the Holy Spirit every day. For in Him we live and move and have our being. You've got to touch that and live in it. Behold the ladder. It's a way of escape. Nothing else will give you access. Some of you are not doing a real good job in maintaining your relationship with God through the Spirit. You come to church and you don't worship. You've forgotten all about your prayer time and your Bible reading time. It's a drag to go to Bible study. Where can we go, ladies and gentlemen, if we don't go in the Holy Ghost? The Holy Spirit gives us access. The Holy Spirit gives us life. I don't always get much out of church, Brother Gordon. I have to qualify this. There's so much about church that becomes administrative, and so much that becomes structurized, and so much that becomes some form, fashion, ceremony, and I don't always get much out of that. But I've never been in the presence of the Holy Ghost. Not one time that I didn't receive strength and help and power and understanding. Not sometimes, but every time. If we could just discard all the riffraff and all the extra stuff. Just hunger after the Holy Spirit. Let me feel your Spirit one more time. Touch me, anoint me, strengthen me, heal me, help me. For it's all in Him. Here's my little burden tonight. I don't want one apostolic in this place to feel sorry for yourself if you have the Holy Ghost. Because by the Holy Spirit, you can have an understanding that supersedes the PhDs, the great scientists, all the great thinkers of the world. You can have an understanding that supersedes all of that, of spiritual things. And really, it is not the material things or the physical things that drive this world. It's spiritual things that really drive this world. Stand with me tonight. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. I know the world wouldn't understand this at all. The world wouldn't get this at all. But you know what I mean when I say you've grown cold in the Spirit. You've grown cold in the Spirit. That's what I want you to renew tonight. If you renew your relationship with God through the Spirit, it will heal relationships in your home and in your church. The abiding presence of the Holy Ghost with you every day will help you to see new visions and new dreams. It will take you to the top of great vistas of understanding. You just can't do that any other way. There's not one human being that's smart enough to give you anything that will compare to the joy of the Holy Ghost.